Movie Mavericks.
The Movie Mavericks Podcast.
Movie Mavericks, speaking of fucking long, uncut European cocks.
The Movie Mavericks Podcast.
Now for your hosts, Jason and Trevor.
I can't wait.
Hey now, everybody, welcome to episode 295 of the Movie Mavericks Podcast. I'm Trevor Anderson, sending you over to Jason Rugard. He's got a rundown for us.
On tonight's episode, we have a couple of trivia questions and an interesting debate topic. We're talking about sequels that outgrossed the originals, why and if they are better than the actual movies that preceded them. Also, reviews for Ted 2, Hotel Transylvania 2, a lot of sequels tonight, Jarhead 3, the direct-to-video sequel, and Blue Mountain State, the movie, which was a Kickstarter campaign-funded movie. Also, talking about the trailers for Pee-wee's Big Holiday, that's the Netflix premiere coming next month, and Neighbors 2, as well as Keanu, the debut film from Key and Peele creators Key and Peele. But first, let's get into trivia, because we don't do the game anymore. I see that little segue there.
You're so used to it, yeah.
You know, you do 290 of them, you get used to something a little bit.
I say screw the game, although Kung Fu Panda 3 did fairly well, so.
Yeah, damn near set the opening, it did set the opening animated weekend record, but
well,
that
sure.
Wasn't hard.
It also, I believe, set the opening Jack Black movie record for January as well. If you want to, I got a lot more. If you want, how many records do you want to have?
Touche. So we'll go ahead and get into trivia. Aladdin, which turns 25 this year.
Oh my gosh.
25
years
old. Yes, I know. And still,
that was one of the good ones.
Well. Yeah, this is like during Disney's really the golden age, the after 1950s golden age, the 1990s golden age. But regardless, who do they model the main character after? There's a modern movie star that they use for a body and facial construction. Do you know who the actor is?
No, I don't.
It's Tom Cruise.
Ah, That's why he's so short.
It kind of, yeah, you know what I mean? It kind of diminutive and
damn.
You like that one? Just trying to be nice.
Yeah, no, it does kind of look like his body type.
Yeah, with the shaggy hair at the time.
Why, now why was this? Just because?
Just because they needed some sort
they
of...
They really loved Tom Cruise?
Yeah,
over there at Disney?
They figured like that was what like a lead character should look like, I guess. That was like the most popular box office draw, so why not fashion your character? They should have just got him to vocalize it, but I guess back then the celebrity voices weren't as important as the songs, and the songs are still being played today. So
Robin Williams, I mean, we are talking about Aladdin.
Yeah, but all the money went to Aladdin, or to Genie, not to Aladdin.
I mean, right, that's what I mean.
But it was one celebrity voice. It wasn't like a cast of celebrity voices. Like now everything.
I don't know. Gilbert Gottfried was in there. I mean, they had quite a few.
You just said Gilbert Gottfried's a celebrity.
For animation, what? Yeah, because he has a very distinct voice.
Oh, fucking Ernest, man. Get out of here.
Hey, Ernest is a celebrity. I don't know where you're from.
Hey, Vern. It's Ernest. I miss Ernest.
I love Ernest.
Who doesn't? Okay, let's move on to the second trivia question. Tarantino's first movie in which the F word is used less than 100 times. It's only said 17 times in this movie. Can you name the movie that has his least bit of profanity?
I can. Well, is it a trick question?
No.
Well, then I don't know.
If it was a trick question, would you know?
I don't know. I
would say that like if it was a trick question, you could figure it out.
I would guess Four Rooms, I guess, but
no, that's
I don't know. I can't because I can't think of anything else where the F word wasn't really used.
It's Kill Bill Volume 1.
Really?
17 times it's said. Fucking its variations are said only 17 times in that first.
Say only volume. 17 times.
But there's very little dialogue in that first.
That
is
true.
Only 90 minutes, really.
That
so.
Is actually true.
It is kind of a trick question, I guess, in a sense. But no Four Rooms kind of trick question. Nobody remembers Four Rooms, not even Rodriguez and Tarantino. That is a bad movie that deserves its bad reputation. On next week's show, we'll be talking about great movies or bad movies that we think are great despite their bad reputation.
Great bad movies.
Yeah, so figure that shit out. And Four Rooms will not be on that because that is just a bad. That's like Destiny Turns on the Radio. That's just one of those things where they just had pull at Miramax in the 90s and they just gridlit.
Yeah.
Whatever.
That was Miramax, though. There's a lot of shit. But they were dumping, at that time, I mean, straight to home video, or not even straight, but, you know, that had become such a big market, they were able to well, just dump all the shit right in there.
Oh, they were dumping shit. They were dumping shit that should have gone straight to home video, like Phantoms.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I saw?
Phantoms
recently?
Is good, though.
I'm getting a little ahead of ourselves here, but I saw Mystery Alaska. Did you ever see that?
Yeah.
That's a movie that played theatrically, and it blows my mind because that's basically a pilot for a failed television show.
Yeah, it is.
And it's still, right? it played theatrically. Good. So that just goes to show you what kind of screen availability there was in the 90s. Okay, let's move on. Let's talk about some sequels that outgrossed the originals. This is kind of an interesting list because some of these movies are inferior to the predecessors, but yet they made more at the box office. You got to attribute that to,
I guess,
people being excited, right, about the
just
first one.
Just wanted to go see it again, yeah.
Or home thinking, video hey. Being a growing market, people catching things later that missed it the first time out.
Mm-hmm.
First on the list is American Pie 2. Which is curious because the first one was a solid hit. But the second one was monstrous. I mean, it opened up at the time with $45 million.
But it's one of the better teen sex comedies, American Pie 2. It's far better than the first, better than the third, yeah. Way better than the fourth. And kind of for me, I mean, if American Pie kind of opens the world again to teen sex comedies, you know, in the 90s. They've already been around, obviously, throughout the 90s and 80s. But big budget, here it is big again. People want to see it again. And American Pie 2 really hit it home, I thought. Just one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, I remember it being my favorite, definitely of the series, and one of my favorite teen sex comedies, like you said. Putting it up there with, you know, like Risky Business and some of the really smart ones out there. A really great soundtrack to that and great writing. And like you said, it opens up the world. And by then we know the characters and they did fun things with them. They didn't humiliate them in harsh ways that, like, to say, a Hangover did.
Yeah, you always felt like, even if they were being humiliated, you felt like you were in on the joke and you were there right along with them rather than kind of poking them with the stick and you know, throwing your poop at them.
Next on the list, we have Die Hard 2, which is definitely a case of home video being a burgeoning market. And people catching this on cable 2 years because the first one.
But
I mean, you and I rewatched this on a movie marathon. We actually watched the first three out of the five at the time. There's only four. But when we did this, we both said that we loved the second one. We both thought the second was our favorite. And we both agreed that it played the worst out of the first three. This thing did not age well at all. And it kind of breaks my heart that this is the highest grossing theatrically unadjusted of all.
But at the time, I mean, we remember liking it so much, but at the time, is it not possible that people really did like it? I feel like this is kind of an Independence Day movie where you see it in theaters and you just remember it being good. And it, I don't know if anyone's watched Independence Day lately, but that movie's horrible.
Yeah, well, both those movies played much bigger on a big screen. They seemed larger than life, maybe because I was younger then and small, I don't know, but they just seemed that they had a wholeness to them that was lost, has never been regained, especially with Die Hard 2. It seemed ultra cheesy when we rewatched it. In the first one, the first Die Hard, that is, people really didn't take Bruce Willis that seriously as an action guy yet. And I think when HBO, you know, they played Die Hard on damn near a loop in 1989, and that really hit a lot of people. So by 1990, he was, you know, a movie star full on, and people went out and really supported this movie. This was one of the bigger hits of that summer, outgrossing Total Recall, outgrossing Days of Thunder, so really stamping Willis as a major box office
and not better than either of those.
No, I agree. Next, we have Austin Powers 2, which absolutely is a movie that found its audience, the first one that is, on home video, DVD, because this first one only grossed $55 million. The second one opened up with that. Went on to make $200 million, and this is a movie I haven't revisited these in a long time. Much like American Pie, I really would like to go back and rewatch all.
They're so good; they hold up.
The Austin Power movies, do you saw these recently?
Well, I've seen Austin Powers and American Pie movies both pretty recently. They both of those sets of films hold up.
That's good to hear.
Yeah, the Austin Powers shit's still fun, especially given enough time. You know, between having seen them, they're funny again.
I specifically wanted to go back and see this part two because I remember it being really one of the funniest movies I'd ever seen at that point in my life when this first came out. I mean, this was a movie that people laughed so hard in the theaters that the next line was missed. I saw this two or three times in the theaters because you couldn't pick it up all, particularly that Springer sequence, which was at probably the height of Springer's career. And this thing made, what, $200 million? This was one of the highest grossing comedies ever at the time. Unadjusted dollars.
Yeah, but it deserved it. You know, you can certainly say that for it. So,
the high point of Mike Myers' career too. Can we agree?
Yeah, I mean, maybe not him like monetarily wise, because I think he probably made a lot more on Shrek, but yeah, I agree.
I think creative wise and at his peak of his,
I
guess his Ace Ventura, his liar, liar moment for Jim Carrey, in mm-hmm. my opinion.
The Love Guru, you're not a fan?
No, gosh, that's hard. I mean, it's hard to get through that movie, and I liked everything that Myers had done up to that point, including
that movie's bad.
Axe Murder, which I thought, you know, was really underrated. But yeah, Love Guru was deservedly forgotten and ditched.
Mm-mm-mm.
All right, next we have Hunger Games 2, which I think you will agree isn't surprising because it is better than the first one, right?
Yeah, and I mean, this was obviously a series that by this point, people were all talking about it. Everyone was talking about it, So it kind of makes sense that more people went, I guess. But not only that, yeah, this movie's awesome. Like, the first movie, just not very good, really. But Hunger Games 2, great movie. And really, and did the book justice as well, so.
Not only the highest of the first two, but the highest of the series, turns out.
Which makes sense. Because, yeah, you break the other book up, so it kind of ruins it.
All right, next we have an 80s film, a trio of kind of 80s and 90s films. And once we have Karate Kid Part 2, the John G. Avildsen-directed film, with the original cast returning in 86, 2 years after the original. And this grossed just a little bit more than the original, so it's kind of a hard call. But for it to come out and retain its audience goes to show that people really bought into this this Rocky-esque, basically Rocky without Rocky, right? Because that's what Karate Kid is, and it's a kid version of Rocky.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know. What'd you think of the second one? Better than the first?
I've always liked them both equal. I think the second one plays a little bit better than the first. I went back and revisited the first recently, and it's so iconic to me in a lot of ways with, there's so many things. Sweep the leg and all the, getting needs a body bag and the music and all that kind of stuff that, like, I'm smiling as I watch it. Whereas I watched Karate Kid Part 2 and I enjoyed it just as much, but I didn't remember quite as many
little things. This was a classic 80s thing where they did, right? They did the original movie, and then the second movie was always took place in, like, a different city or whatever. You know, like, they did this with Crocodile Dundee.
Right.
You know, so.
But what they did in this movie, which I always appreciated, because they did this in Rocky and Rocky 2, is that they picked up immediately after the first one with the hand breaking, you know, the bad guy sensei with the hand being broken in the parking lot. You know, I love when movies start right at the moment the other one ends at times, you know, kind of just fill you right in. So it's like a continuation. In the 80s, they did that quite a few times, and it really linked the worlds together for me. The worst, I think we can all agree, of the first three is the third one, right? I mean, that is, like, universally known as the shit one.
Right. And obviously the next Karate Kid stands on its own, right? That's what you're saying?
I want to say I was impressed with the remake with Jaden Smith and Jackie Chan. That little
It was good, yeah.
I know. I couldn't believe it. That was a good little movie.
That was surprising.
Surprising, though. Tugging the heartstring. All right, next we have Lethal Weapon 2, which is the 1989 blockbuster. This thing made adjusted about $250 million for a buddy cop movie, the sequel to 1987's hit. But at this point, Mel Gibson's in full star mode. This movie, I think, is one of the better sequels of all time. I think it maybe even outshines the original. I just went back and rewatched the original, and I watched that director's cut that you recommended to me. And first of all, I prefer the regular cut of the original, but I think I prefer the sequel over either cut, if that makes sense.
Sure. I mean, I think you're crazy about the theatrical cut thing. The director's cut is better. I don't know why. It's not that much longer, and it has a great scene in there. I think you're nuts.
I just didn't like that placement of that scene.
Yeah, I think you're crazy.
But you do agree the sequel's better?
Yeah, I do. And you know, that more than makes up for the rest of the series.
This sequel is the high point of the series once again, because this is the one that introduces that third
by
stooge,
far.
Joe Pesci. You need that character to make this formula really click. And this is
we
the
don't
one
really
that
have the comedic person in the first one. You know, I mean, Riggs is kind of trying to be funny, but he's too crazy, right? And Murtaugh's, you know, kind of funny, but he's too old. So you do need that kind of that goofy guy, don't you?
Yeah, it's the triangle that completed it all. It really was the missing element. And the third one, which I think is still superior entertainment. And I even like the fourth one a lot. I mean, I still think this whole series, once again, a series I would love to go back and revisit. Mm-hmm. I still think that it's all really great entertainment in a lot of its sequences, but this is the best one in the whole entire series. All right, next we have Rambo 2, First Blood Part 2, or Rambo 1, First Blood Part 2. And this
was Rambo 800 million, Part 3000.
This is 1985's blockbuster, and this thing was an absolute juggernaut at the box office. One of the second highest grossing film of the year behind Back to the Future, outgrossed even Rocky IV, which was the third highest grossing film of the year. But this was the movie that took on a life of its own and really became, a walking joke in a lot of ways.
I was going to say, it took Rambo to new heights, didn't it, really? I mean, he was... it's a fun movie. I'm not going to lie to you, but it is a bit ridiculous, especially coming from the first Rambo.
This is a total cartoon of a movie, but given itself, and this is one of my all-time favorite movies. I hate to say it. I've probably seen this movie more times than any other movie outside of Rocky IV, possibly.
It's a fun movie. I mean,
I can't defend it on any sort of intellectual level, but this thing on a gut level, I respond to every single moment of this movie, of the sound design of everything of this movie is built into my DNA. So I, as sheepishly will say to you, I think it proudly stands as the highest grossing movie in the series.
Rambo 2.
It is so just unabashedly patriotic.
It's and fun.
It's ridiculous. It's fun. I mean, you look back on it, it was ghost directed by Stallone. It is what it is.
It's just so far apart from the first one that by all means. So it just kind of makes it weird. But again, I don't know. You know, who cares? It doesn't matter, right? Really, it's Rambo. Who cares? It could be different.
It was almost the start of
it's allowed.
A new character. It was almost a reboot.
Yeah. Or just a fun, kind of a fun redo, I guess, or something. He's done that. Stallone's kind of done that. You know, he's done that with the Rocky movies a little bit. Obviously, we just saw it recently with the Expendables. Two movies in on this, but he has fun a little bit, I mean, Rocky IV is fucking, I think, the best Rocky, and it is... probably the most ridiculous Rocky.
Yeah, it takes place in like this hyper reality, wouldn't you say, compared to the first two and the last two?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. All right, let's moving on. We'll talk about Terminator 2, Schwarzenegger's opus, science fiction high point of his career. The James Cameron film. This outgrossed the original, but that is to be no surprise. The first one
grew. Well, I hardly had a release.
and was 7 years later and grew. I mean, by the time this was released, I'll Be Back was already iconic. Hasta La Vista, baby, joined the pantheon of great Schwarzenegger one-liners after this. And he was on a roll, really, with science fiction and with comedy, going back and forth with things like Kindergarten Cop and Twins, and then Total Recall, Ultraviolent Total Recall. And Terminator 2, I remember when it came out, there was a lot of hubbub because it was supposed to be the less violent version of Schwarzenegger because he wasn't going to shoot anybody, and they worked that into the script. But it's so cleverly worked in and still such a violent film and so awesome that this movie, no wonder it was the highest grossing movie of its year. Actually, it wasn't. It got beat by Aladdin, but still.
It got beat by Tom Cruise.
An animated Tom Cruise. Who'd have thought?
I mean, Terminator 2. What more can you say? If you haven't seen this movie, I feel bad for you.
Yeah, if you only know Schwarzenegger as the old guy from the Mobile Strike commercials, rent this. Or just get this off somebody. All right, next we have Toy Story 2, which is no surprise, one of the highest grossing animated films of all time until Toy Story 3 came along and 4. Or do we have Toy Story 4 yet?
I think they're working on that one. Did Shrek probably beat this too?
I got to admit, I never saw anything past the first one.
Really? I'm the odd one out here because I like Toy Story 2 more than the first and the third one. And everyone, I think at this point, everyone likes the third one the most. But the third one, to me, was so cheap in the tricks. And it's such a, these guys are so good at jerking the tears out of people and doing, just doing the right things at the right time. And that's what Toy Story 3 felt like to me. Whereas Toy Story 2 just felt like an episode in their lives, like a continuation of some more shit that's happening to them.
Fair enough. I haven't seen it. So this thing made a shitload of money in 99 and was for a long time known as maybe the best animated film of all time. I mean, people were really high on this until, like you said, the third one came along, and that kind of supplanted this one. A lot of people, I mean, this was, people would talk, you've never seen Toy Story 2? And then I was like, no, no. And then Toy Story 3 came out. God, and you gotta see just that like one, that. You know? Oh, yeah. All right, next on the list we have Bad Boys 2, which is once again no surprise. This one came out a full 7 years after the first, and really, I'm sorry, 8 years after the first. And by this point, both the stars were big, and Michael Bay had taken on a reputation, and the movie's budget had grown, so not surprising. But one of our favorite movies of all time, right?
Yeah, Bad Boys 2 is just fucking awesome. I mean, the first one's great, but Bad Boys 2 is just one of those rare action movies that just comes out of nowhere.
I think it works from frame to credit. I mean, opening frame to credit, this thing
comedy,
just
action, yeah. All of it works. You know, I mean, Will Smith is so good in this.
Right, is most engaging in this. Martin Lawrence is
truly.
Comedic,
I mean, it's
is hell in this.
Exactly, he's great. I mean, you'd want to say like Lawrence is the sidekick, but they're really equals, and that's I think one of the great things about this is that they kind of. They're doing their own thing a little bit.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite sequels of all time, if not one of my favorite.
Great shootouts in this too. I mean, that when they're on the freeway and stuff, and oh my god! I mean, it's like a battle zone. Yeah, it's pretty incredible.
That freeway chase scene is one of the best action sequences of the last decade, from the 2000s to 2010s, in my opinion. All right, next on the list we have The Road Warrior, which once again is no surprise because the first Mad Max wasn't given much of a release here, and The Road Warrior is considered by many to be the first one because it's the first one they had exposure to. So legitimately, this is the second one, and it is, it's got to be the best one, right? I mean, this is the one that I felt like every movie after this setup was trying to replicate this. Like if it's futuristic movie, we're replicating Blade Runner, the post-apocalyptic movie was replicating
this. That is true. There were a lot like this. To be fair, though, I think there were quite a few before this that were just like this, you know?
Yeah, but none
but
that
these were
to find
the best.
The energy or the imagination that they could find in these movies, you know, in the small corners that they were finding.
Yeah, I mean, you clearly had the right people coming together to make this. But they were all like that. I mean, I like the first Mad Max, but you're right. The Road Warrior is definitely the best one of the first. Because the last Mad Max clearly kicks the shit out of all of these.
Yeah, from technical standpoints, absolutely.
No, from every standpoint. I mean, honestly. But, yeah, I don't know. What are you going to say? Mad Max is, they're all kind of the same movie, really. Except for the second one, which is fucking just weird.
Well, the third one is a bit of a meandering.
One, yeah.
It's got brilliant
the
ideas.
The third one.
It's a bit meandering.
But it's called two.
Yeah. Well, good luck with that.
The third one is two. I don't know.
All right, next on the list we have The Dark Knight, the sequel to Batman Begins. And this is on that rare kind of tier where I think a lot of outside elements contributed to this being a high-grossing film, and not only that it was a Batman sequel, but because of the Heath Ledger morbid curiosity to see that last performance. And
the fact that it was an amazing performance.
Right, and the fact that it's an amazing performance and an Oscar-winning performance on top of it, and that Dark Knight's a good movie. But I think you and I are, once again, in the rare minority that prefer the first one over this, right?
Yeah, I still think Batman Begins is the best of the three of these, but this really is a trilogy. You know, you can't just pick for a lot of these movies. I guess it's fair to say this, but for this one, the story continues throughout all three of them so nicely that really it's one piece of work. You know, really, all three of the movies.
I think when I saw Dark Knight Rises, I appreciated The Dark Knight a little bit more because
really
I
like Dark Knight Rises.
So do I, but I think that it gets a little bogged down. I thought that The Dark Knight, you know, for its length,
The Dark Knight gets bogged down. Towards
I know,
the
but
end
I
there.
Felt not as much. I thought that it was at least
really?
A little bit fleeter than
Dark Knight Rises. I would say I'm the opposite on that for those two. But yeah, but Batman Begins is just fucking awesome. If you haven't seen that. You're crazy. Definitely check it out.
you might not need to because you got Batman versus Superman coming up, and Kevin Smith says Affleck is the best Batman ever.
Fuck that, because I'm sure that movie is just stupid compared to Dark Knight or Batman Begins.
Well, yeah, Batman Begins. My goodness, that was just unexpected. I had no intention of seeing that or it being that good.
Qui-Gon Jinn is in it.
Who doesn't like Qui-Gon? He is in it. He cut his hair and he's in it.
And he's as awesome as he was when he was in Star Wars. So
he doesn't have to change his accent, his appearance. And he's pretty much the same character.
That's how he is. But he wasn't a drunk. So at least he had that. He hadn't gotten into that phase yet.
At least he wasn't looking for midichlorians. Okay, next we have Anchorman 2 on the list here, which outgrossed the original. It was 10 years in the making, or damn near 10 years in the making. No surprise here that this outgrossed the original. The original didn't do that well, really did extremely well on DVD and home video. This movie is really outgrossed now by Daddy's Home, which surprises the shit out of me. But Anchorman 2, I didn't care for all that much in the theater. It was really drawn out, but as I've seen it more and more on cable and things like that, it does play better at home in snippets, as all Will Ferrell movies, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's a terrible movie. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Anchorman 2 is dog shit. I liked the first Anchorman, and I liked everything about it. You know, there's nothing, but this movie is so just, I don't know, did Seth MacFarlane ghostwrite this fucking thing? Because it's all over the place.
Oh, wow. Is that a glimpse into your Ted 2 review? Oh, wow. He's already dropping jewels over here. I picked up that breadcrumb. Come here, Hansel.
Put it back. Put that breadcrumb back. We'll never find our way home.
The fork is over here, and I'm going that way. All right. With that, let's take a quick break, and we'll come back with Trevor's shitty review of Ted 2.
This podcast is a proud member of the Lamb Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.
Check out the big brain on bread!
Thank you for that intro, Mr. Samuel L. Jackson. My name is Brad, and I'm the host of the Picking Brains podcast, where you will find interviews with the most unique minds of the horror genre. So go to picking-brains.com and check the podcast out. And I have to be going now because here are some zombies.
Unfortunately, we do not pick any brains on this podcast, but we do pick butts.
I've got my finger planted firmly in my ass right now. So you didn't like Ted 2? I'm thumbing my finger at you.
Did you did you like Ted 2?
I thought it was the best comedy of last year.
Well, I think it was the only comedy of last year.
Well, then it wins by default.
No, I thought this was a horrible movie, really. This is more 100 Million Ways to Die in the West than it is Ted 1. By a long shot, right? There's no movie here. There's no story. There's just nothing here. They don't get to the lawyer stuff until like 30 minutes in. And it's just constantly a joke here, a joke there. Like, and not like a joke here, joke there, but like fucking like Family Guy, Seth MacFarlane stuff to the max. Literally, let's take a break and do a non-related nothing joke that has nothing to do with anything. That's the whole movie.
I loved its irreverent humor. I mean, I thought that this worked much better than 10,000 Ways to Die did. But as I'll say this, the movie was originally written about a cross-country road trip between the Mark Wahlberg's character and Ted that they scrapped the idea when Where the Millers came out because it was too similar. And then I think with Mila Kunis departing, they really didn't have much for Wahlberg to do, which you alluded to. You texted me and said, I'll let you say that about Walker. But what'd you say?
He's really, I think he's, Mark Wahlberg is in this movie as much as Paul Walker is in Furious 7. You know, really, he just kind of shows up. He has nothing to do the whole movie. It's not his movie, whereas he should be the straight guy. In the first Ted, it is his movie. Ted's there. Ted's his companion, right? It's his toy. In this movie, it's just Ted doing shit, right? And he's just kind of moping around and really does nothing the whole movie. I don't know, yeah. Man. I thought this was a real letdown. And I think forgettable. I don't think anyone's going to – I think people are going to remember Ted. And I think Ted 2 is going to be the one that's like, oh, yeah, there was a sequel, wasn't there?
Is this the Caddyshack 2 of the series?
Yeah, seriously.
All right. Well, I really like Ted 2. That sucks. What else? You know what I saw tonight? I saw Blue Mountain State, the movie. Remember this
yes,
TV show?
Yes, I want to hear all about it because Thad is my hero. I love this character.
Well, then you might really like this movie because
oil
Alan Richardson
changes for everyone.
You know what's funny is if you go to the IMDb page where Movie Mavericks is the only review on there, by the way, it says somebody's been messing around with the trivia on there, and it says the entire cast went through oil changes prior to filming. So somebody's been having a good time with that. But at the same time, Thad here, if you like this show, and you and I both say that it's probably the funniest show that nobody watches, you're going to love this movie. This was a Kickstarter campaign funded film, not entirely, but
so this is from the actual creators.
The actual creators. This is a Veronica Mars redo like you kind of had with your series there. I wasn't a fan of that, so I didn't watch that movie. But as far as Kickstarter type movies go, I can't imagine it'd be much better. It's very low budget. It's under $2 million, and they're pretty much single location here. But this is a raunchy, funny movie that stays perfectly in tone with the themes that were already established in the show and the personas that we had saw. I mean, every character stays exactly within their personality, and it doesn't get soft and gooey on you. It stays how it's set to up. Nice. What I liked about this movie is they set up some things, and I thought, oh, we're going to go a certain way here. And they stayed true to what the show was, and they didn't.
Let me ask you something. I mean, clearly we've gone a Steve Siffler way with this. We're throwing Alan Richardson, who plays Thad Castle, into the lead role, basically, right? It's kind of a Stifler thing, right? They did with American Pie 2.
Yes.
Yeah, and I'm hoping to good effect, and for good reason, because Alan Richardson is fucking hysterical.
I mean, his opening scene, if you can imagine this, at this point, Thad has gone into he's the first round draft in the NFL, and he signed a $50 million contract, and his ego has run wild, and he's doing a SportsCenter type interview. And even the first line, the guy says, "Thank you for being here," and he says, "You're welcome for having me." And I already laughed. You know what I mean? It's like, he's
such a douche, too. I can even imagine him saying that. Yeah.
And he's got this cousin named Dick Dog, who is just there, and every time he does something, he tells the guy to write himself a check. You know, it's literally that kind of humor. And I don't know, Darren Brooks, who plays Alex Moran, and Sammy Corky Romano, not Corky Romano, Corky Romano, Corky Romano would be a totally different character. he's just great, great stuff this is really a low budget, raunchy thing. I mean, there's full frontal male nudity on many occasions. There's bestiality. Yeah. There's a lot of jokes of homosexual stuff going on here and crossing the line. But that's how the show was. It kind of makes you uncomfortable. And then you laugh because you're a lot of the sexual ambiguousness of some of the characters is the joke. So,
well, it still had a bit of it had enough sweetness in it still, even with these characters, that you were very forgiving for the way they were acting because they were fucking morons.
That's exactly the tones established here. This is the true stuff that I remember from like the Stripes and what they considered like the Animal House type stuff. This is one of those.
I was just going to say, these kind of guys, it does feel like kind of a rebirthing of like a National Lampoon type thing, doesn't it?
Yeah, much better than a Van Wilder, though, or something gay like that.
Sure, fine. But it's much newer than any of that stuff, right? Because even the show had a very 90s feel to it, but it's not clearly not a 90s show.
No, the show had balls, and that was the whole thing that this movie contains to have. It sticks with its theme. Like I said, every time I thought it was going to shit out and go a certain way in the script, it stayed true, and the character was a dick. You know what I mean? It's like that's how it was supposed to be. It's exactly how this character would act in this situation. And Richardson doesn't run the show solely here, but he is just – his comedic timing is so on point. That it's amazing this guy hasn't gotten more work. The problem is he looks like an Abercrombie and Fitch model.
I know.
But he's got the comic timing of Jim Carrey. So
I really think something – I don't know how they could do this. Maybe two bumbling detectives or something. But Alan Richardson and Terry Crews would be hysterical together.
Yeah, you got to get that worked out already. Yeah, Trevor, give yourself a writing assignment. There you go.
Maybe as bodybuilders or something, you know,
somehow
something because they
turn
get
into Dolph Lundgren and Cooper Jr. But, I mean, it is.
Hey, you know what? That's fine. You know, I believe. I mean, they just made what was that Cuba Gooding Jr. movie where they're in the ice cream truck? Didn't they just make a sequel to that?
No, did Chill
Chill Factor? Is there not a Chill Factor 2 now? Because I'm telling you, I mean, Dolph Lundgren and Cuba Gooding, Chill Factor 3, I mean,
if
come on,
it
could happen.
If Chill Factor 2 is in existence, I maybe will ship
it. Was there ever a Chill Factor 2?
No, how could there be? The only person that Chill Factor 1 is you.
So only in my dreams, I guess.
Yeah, thank goodness. Keep them there. Where they're safe from everybody. No, but I highly recommend Blue Mountain State. It'll be available, I believe, on Video On Demand starting at midnight or immediately when you hear this, go to Video On Demand and check it out. Last note on this. I think you'll get a kick out of this. He's so rich he buys a zoo because he says, fuck it, if Matt Damon did it, I could do it. And then the guy, he's telling the guy about this beautiful unicorn bull that he has. And he says, you mean a rhinoceros? And he goes, oh, no, a dinosaur. I fucking own a dinosaur. You gotta see. I mean, that's that kind of humor. You're already cracking us. You'll enjoy the flip.
The unicorn bull and the rhinoceros? Dinosaur. That is good shit.
There you go. Now give me this for free. All right, so you saw Hotel Transylvania 2. Was there any laughs in this follow-up animated hit?
Yeah, you know what? I like this as much as I did the first one. It was cute. It's down to earth. It's very relatable. And I thought it was fairly humorous. As much as the first one was, so it was a nice movie.
Yeah, it's good to hear because I liked Pixels and everyone slammed Pixels and this, saying Sandler, you know, was on his way out. And so far, you liked both of his movies this year. And I thought the first one was clever for what it was doing. And
yeah, it was a cute, fine little movie. You know, I think it earned what it deserved to earn, and I think this one earned what it deserved to earn as well. You know, it's a solid movie. Is it a Pixar movie? No, of course not. But you know, not everything is going to be a Pixar movie, and it's just as good as any of the other, actually probably better than most of the other animated stuff out there. A lot of it I feel is aimed at, you know, kids that are too young, really.
Well, I think that's what The Good Dinosaur had maybe a problem, because it didn't, this is actually,
yeah, maybe
Hotel, I mean, Transylvania 2 outgrossed The Good Dinosaur.
Yeah. If there's nothing for me in it, you know, if it's too kitty, then it's kind of almost, you know, it should just be on TV as noise so you can put the kids in front of the boob tube and, you know, babysit them for a while, right? Otherwise, right. I mean, I don't want to go to the theater to see anything like that. But this wasn't like that. This was a very good movie, and the voice acting was really good as well, I thought, for an animated film. So I liked it.
I get it here. I saw the directed DVD sequel, another sequel for you, Jarhead 3, The Siege. Did you know there was a Jarhead 2?
Yeah.
I mean, of all the unlikely franchises, Jarhead has to be...
Well, they're nothing like the first one.
Most unlikely, right?
They're not. They're just action. They just steal the name, basically.
Yeah, they think that name has some sort of, like, action fan value is what the joke is. This isn't Scorpion King 4 or, you know, Death Race 3.
Well, it's not like Wesley Snipes is starring in them.
Now, this is just like, I couldn't believe that. But actually, this one wasn't too bad. Scott Adkins is in this. Not as the main character. He does die in this rather quickly. So it's kind of a Steven Seagal executive decision bait and switch thing going on here. But this is really a decent little actioner for what it is. I've seen a lot of these Siege kind of movies. Second
They're
in Command,
getting worse.
The Van Damme one reminded me of it. And
yeah,
this one
wasn't
bad.
But this doesn't really compare to that still, does it? This is looks far lesser as production value than something like when Van Damme was doing straight-to-video stuff.
Oh, yeah, this is extremely
by far, right? I mean, there was a time when, like, I joked about Wesley Snipes, but there was Wesley Snipes, you know, Van Damme was in on it, Steven Seagal, obviously, when they were doing straight-to-video stuff, and some of it was really cheap, but the majority of it was still looked like at least it was a real movie. This, I've seen the trailers to it. This looks almost like someone shot it on home video.
Do you know who's in this movie? And I hadn't seen him in years on the screen. Is Dante Basco, who played Rufio in Hook. And he plays he appears in this movie.
What does he look like? Is he fat?
No, he looks the exact same. It's fucking Rufio. First of all, this guy's a natural performer. He should be a sidekick in most movies. I don't know why studios get LaBeouf out of there and put this guy back in movies. I mean, I love Rufio. This guy honestly popped up as a documentarian. He's running around filming. It's always, a journalist caught at the base. Yeah. And all this kind of shit happens. This is the standard plot and this kind of stuff. But for a movie that has really no ambitions and aspirations outside of to play as fodder on a Netflix stream, this was fairly well done. So I got to actually give credit. Yeah, I give credit.
Maybe I'll check it out. Probably not, though.
Yeah, well, there you go.
If it had Van Damme in it, I would absolutely watch it. But
or did you see Pound of Flesh? That was the last Van Damme.
Yeah,
I
did. I saw. No, I hated it. Come on.
You hated it?
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. The switch sucked.
Fair enough. Yeah. Yeah. He's been, I don't know.
It's been a while since we had a good one.
It has. But he's still good. I always enjoy watching him, so I'm okay with it. What was the one where he was in prison? That one was good. The hotel one?
In Hell. But
in Hell.
A long time from that one.
Yeah, I haven't even seen that in a long time. It might not even hold up. But I do remember that was really good. That was surprisingly good.
I liked Wake
good.
Of Death, but you thought he
Wake of Death is so bad, he cries the whole fucking movie, man. He just breaks down into a full-on flood of tears for no reason and shit. Just the whole time. It's like, oh my God, man. We have an action movie and then... It's like, oh my God.
He does cry ugly, I'll say that. He's an ugly crier. All right, let's get into the trailers.
Trailers. Oh, I don't have the trailer. Okay, just imagine that the trailer thing played.
Imagine
I knew it was
the
missing one.
Right now, it came on and said, "Trailer.
Photon torpedoes. Shields up. Red alert."
We'll give a little Patty Stewart a.
It's time for Trailer Addict. Nah, he's preparing for Ted 3.
All right, so we have. Speaking of preparing out of nowhere, is Pee Wee Herman making a comeback with his Netflix series?
What the fuck is this?
This is the trailer for Pee Wee's Big Holiday, and right away it takes you right back into that world, right?
It does, but I'm upset because where's Francis?
Francis. Alamo.
I don't know about this, man. I'm not sold. I feel like this is kind of a Mr. Bean's Holiday. I don't know if you saw. That's a really good movie, surprisingly. But it kind of feels like this is kind of a thing like that. Like, take Pee-wee and send him on a holiday. And we'll make a little movie about that. And it doesn't have to be... In some sense, it's being sold to you as a smaller thing. So it doesn't really have to be good. Does that make sense? That's what I feel like they're doing.
Well, it's a lark. You know, this is a nostalgia based. I mean, everything Netflix is doing right now, it feels like it's sort of like tapping into nostalgia. And
he's so
Fuller
old.
House
he and he has too much makeup on.
Well, didn't he always? That was.
I don't know. Because now he has like wrinkles in his skin, but the makeup's only on his face. So, like, you can see the neck. It looks weird. He's too old.
I thought this, at least the trailer took me back to that Tim Burton world, and I'll give it a shot because it is a Netflix original.
Oh, yeah, it'll be on there.
It's on there, so you might as well.
You can watch it for a couple of minutes, but I bet you'll quit. I don't know. I can't imagine this being very good.
All right, next up we have the teaser for Neighbors 2, The Sorority Rising, and this is starring a bunch of lovely little vixens.
I wasn't a fan of Neighbors when it first came, when
I
first saw it.
I think you're out of your head on that.
I am, because it really grew on me. It's been on HBO, and I watched it a couple more times, and I'm like, I don't know what was wrong with me when I watched this.
Yeah, honestly, you had your head in your ass. I'm glad you got it out.
I really liked it now, after having watched it a couple times. And I got to tell you, seeing this teaser, it makes you wonder how the fuck are they going to make a Neighbors 2? And my God, did they make a Neighbors 2? Because this thing looks fucking awesome. It's kind of brilliant in the way that they set this up. And I love that the time passing again, you know, they're trying to sell their home instead of just moving in. I like that Zac Efron is friends with them. I like that they kept that from the end of the first movie, you know, where they kind of met up with him again. And everything was kind of cool.
Yeah, and not only that, it's not just
the
sororities over there. It's a girl who's ousted from the sorority and starts
and it's,
up a, you know, a kind of a quasi-sorority.
It's Miss Moretz, who's fucking awesome, so.
Let's
you know she's
going to
be funny.
Miss Gomez, who's also
I know,
quite awesome.
But I don't know how much she is in this movie.
Well, she's in the trailer quite a bit. And, I thought the gag there, there's so many gags that work. And even to try to recycle the, it only works on boys, you know, the
it still worked,
gag.
Though. I still laughed.
Yeah, of course. But even, you know, when Efron gets out of the car shirtless and then Rogan gets out with the painted on.
The guy with the clown shit. Yeah, the whole thing worked for me all the way around. I love the ending scene where they're chasing him into the car and the wife turns the water on. Of course, they're all bikini clad girls trying to get him. And so and he's like, no, don't get me. No, don't. You know, like he's like, what am I complaining about?
Yeah, really. This trailer works. I think this is going to be a huge hit. Probably we'll talk about this on sequels that outgross the original. Because while the first one was a major hit, I think this is going to be one of the bigger ones.
I think it looks better. Yeah, it looks like a, especially having, sometimes having that first movie, you know, have everything set up makes for a better sequel. You know, and that, to be fair, with a lot of the sequels we talked about, you know, already having that world set up and not having to go through that, you already know it. They can play on that real easy. And very quickly, and sometimes it makes sequels all the better.
Yeah, I do want to see this. All right, and the last one we have for today is the trailer for the Key and Peele feature film. You know, they left their television show to focus on movies, and mm-hmm. this is
they finally made one
debut film titled Keanu, about a pet cat named.
It's not about Reeves. And I was let down when I saw. I thought, oh, Keanu Reeves.
But a documentary finally about our greatest actor of the generation.
I need to know, yeah, how he does it.
It wouldn't have surprised me, actually, if Keanu Reeves was the answer to that trivia question at the top of the show about Aladdin.
Right? you know.
No, it's really Dustin Hoffman.
That seems more likely. Anyways, what did you think about this? I thought this looked really fucking funny.
Did you? I thought we saw the Red Band trailer. I thought this looked funny in spots, but I have the fear this is going to be like a bad Key and Peele skit that runs on way too long.
Really, I liked. I can maybe agree with you on that, except that for this trailer, if maybe in the movie it might do that. For the trailer, I thought it worked really well. The way they weaved it throughout it, you know, they were. They're clearly the whitest black guys, right? In this.
That's their whole shtick always.
Yeah, I know, but it works here. I thought, and the way they worked it throughout the movie, I thought it was funny. I loved the ending when
with the George Michaels.
The George Michaels shit. That's a killer. I mean, just when he hits into that free now, he just starts mouthing it. You're just, yeah. Oh my god, I'm dying.
That brings the house down. I mean, that's a great way to end that trailer. And those two personalities, it's not to say that this trailer doesn't have its laughs in it, because I do think that this is an amusing trailer on the whole. But I think that it may have issues as a movie running into dead spots and big spots.
I'll agree with you on that, but I don't think it's going to have the issues of something like Let's Be Cops did.
That's kind of the vibe I got out of this. You know?
Really? I didn't get that vibe out of this. I thought, oh, there's going to be more to this. And at least there's going to be, you know, action sequences and things in here. They would play them out as funny, but they would at least be interesting to watch.
However, I do think this is going to do well, because these guys have built up themselves something of a cult following. And as performers, I have a lot of affection for both these guys. I really hope that this does well, because
yeah, I think they're funny.
I think that they're able to write their own offbeat material that suits them. Like this, as opposed to having to find scripts that, you know, that they have to kind of get tailored to them, you know.
I can't believe I'm still laughing about this trailer still. You sound like John Ritter. This shit's funny, man.
I'm telling you, outside of that freedom bit,
the freedom thing's a fucking, you know, you might pee your pants when you see that. I'm all honesty, that shit's hysterical.
And he does it, and he does it with such conviction that it's just like, oh my god!
It's like Ryan Reynolds and Just Be Friends, or Just Friends.
Yeah, there you go.
It's fucking hysterical. That sometimes that shit is just perfect.
Oh man, yeah. Fuck Lip Sync Battle. I can watch that all night. This Just Friends beginning and this trailer with that. So those are the trailers on today's show. Go to traileraddict.com and check it out, or moviemavericks.com for the latest reviews. Blue Mountain State and Jarhead 3 is on there, along with Ted 2. Not trying to tell. I haven't seen Hotel Transylvania, so we'll get that on there soon. But, you know, these kids' movies. I saw Megamind recently. You ever seen that one?
I liked Megamind, actually.
So did I. I thought that was underrated. How come that didn't get talked about more? That was kind of breezed over, unfairly.
Yeah, I was surprised that I actually liked that one, but...
And that was a pretty wide release. When one of those gets passed over,
oh, yeah, that was a DreamWorks one. I mean,
that's a lot of work.
But been DreamWorks. You know, they spend a lot of money on things that don't make a lot of money, unless it's Kung Fu Panda 20,
which is doing bonkers in China. So we'll get another one for sure. All right, guys, thanks for joining us. If you want to hear our past podcasts, you can go to iTunes, you can catch us on Stitcher, or you can go to moviemavericks.com. Speaking for Trevor Anderson, I'm Jason Rugard, and we are the Movie Mavericks.
Oh my, another magnificent episode has come to an end.
If you're craving more, set your destination to moviemavericks.com, warp 9. Engage!